This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, when we do our breaks here, normally we go from segment to segment, and then we insert the ads and everything when we record these shows. This time I took a 10-minute break to get some business done. And they had 10 minutes, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about me behind my back. Isn't that amazing, that opportunity that was presenting itself? It's just spectacular. Anyway, we get back to UFO abductions, the flaws of regressive hypnosis. And you mentioned briefly, Nigel Watson, about the resemblance between near-death experiences and abductions, which is something that we've talked about quite a while. How do you look at that?
I think quite a lot of different experiences can be interpreted in a different perspectives, really. UFOs is something, we're more keen on, but obviously some people might have a similar experience to an alien abduction, but regard it as something like an out-of-body experience or a very intense dream even. I think, people have had sort of intense fantasies about these things, but some, I think in our literature, it's a quite intense recollections of something that we believe actually occurred.
And that's really interesting, because it sounds, if you can excuse me here just for backing up a bit, that this is a lot, again, like the fugue state we were talking about just before the break, where it seems to be like a waking dream.
Of actually loss of memory and wake up, could be they can function, and then suddenly they can be missing for a week or something, and then reappear, and they don't know their name or anything. It's like an episode of amnesia. And sometimes this occurs because people have been sort of victims of traumatic things like sexual abuse, and we can have quite a few traumatic episodes like that. And then we might enter a fugue state where your brain kind of literally kind of switches off, blocks off these traumas, and then people reappear. And sometimes, these things could just happen for perhaps just a short period, but it can be quite long as well. So, this is something that, I think the human mind is a lot more complex than some alien abduction books state, really, because, we're obviously, most of them are from a sort of, spaceship theories, whereas I think if you look into just different psychological states, you notice that quite a lot of them, can reflect what's in some of the literature as well. But it's a notoriously difficult area to sort of actually pin down what might be occurring with people. And I think that's why, like John Keel years ago said, you should discover what the witness had for breakfast. I don't think he meant that literally. Well, he might have come to think of it. Some substances can alter your mind, but...
Sure.
The fact is, you should be more aware of the overall context of a person and not just from the context of just their sighting. And I think that's interesting about Calvin Parker's new book, and you're going to speak to him soon, because it gives his, the background to what happened to him, and it's quite intense what did happen to him.
You were just talking about how people can go into these fugue states and actually wake up several days later. And
some people have even been missing for years and don't realize who they are. It's a bit like Jason Bourne, really, where he has flashbacks to his existence before he become part of the sort of CIA program. So I suppose that takes us into a different area. But, you know, people have said have been sort of brainwashed or programmed by different nefarious agencies. You know, the CIA and other US government agencies did intensively look at how to change people's perceptions using LSD, and they even investigated, you know, remote viewing and all sorts of different things. And one person even alleged that a lot of these classic abduction experiences were actually simulations that were conducted by the United States to kind of test people. You know, there's quite a few intriguing possibilities about, you know, what does cause UFO experiences.
Well, then,
You know, it's not a simple thing.
Something like the Travis Walton case, then. I mean, that could have that can easily be attributed then to this sort of a fugue state where, he gets out of the truck, he goes to investigate what seems to be some sort of anomalous light, which a number of investigators have likened to a nighttime blind for hunting about that time of year. And, he gets sort of disoriented by the lights, falls, bumps his head, the truck takes off. And so he's got this sort of bump on his head that sends him into a fugue state where all he remembers is being on an alien ship for a few days.
Yeah. I think that one, again, is something where you might think even something, I don't know what the weather conditions were like or anything, but there again, something like ball lightning might have even occurred, which caused a flash and might have disturbed him so much that he entered a fugue state. And then a few days later, he's able to, he has no memory of what happened between, you know, that event and reappearing to society. And there again, I think it's hypnotic regression that might have had a big factor in that. And also there's been a big debate over whether he passed lie detector tests or anything like that. I think the thing about lie detector tests is, like I said before, is that they're a bit of a red herring, really. And I think in a way, Travis, a bit like Calvin Parker, kept their story, so I think they do actually believe these things happen to them. But you know what actually causes it? You were saying about Michael Persinger's theory of tectonic strain and different these earthquake lights and plasmas, a bit like ball lightning, could actually cause people to hallucinate and have these alien experiences.
A person, this was just, I think it was just actually last year that made the news, or back in February, something like that, because he was on a skiing trip, and he turned up 6 days later with barely any memory of how he got there, and a new iPhone and a haircut. And it turned out that he'd had some sort of skiing accident and crawled in the back of someone's truck, and he really didn't remember any of it until people helped him trace back what really happened.
All right.
So this does
sounds
happen.
A bit like these. Yeah. It sounds also like, you read about in the 14 literature, people say they're being teleported, where 1 minute they're in one city and then they turn up in another city. But there again, it might be because something like that happened and, you know, they don't recall the journey, you know. I think sometimes, you know, if you drive at night, and you're tired, sometimes, you forget how parts of your journey, because your mind kind of switches off and you think, oh, how did I get here? I suddenly sort of...
Before we progress, I want to remind you about something that we haven't talked about too much on this episode, and that is the Paracast Plus. We'd love you to check it out. We offer an ad-free version of this show. We offer the After the Paracast podcast. You never know what's going to happen there. In fact, Tim Beckley is going to join us this week with Randall and me, and it's going to be an interesting kind of session. To learn more about the Paracast Plus, go to plus.theparacast.com. Once again, that's plus.theparacast.com. I don't want to say this. I can give you some interesting examples, but we have Gene and Nigel
And Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Let's talk tough. Let's talk comfort. Let's talk about down-home value. Made in the USA blue jeans, like you wore as a kid. Remember?
There's a place down in Tennessee where they make blue diamond gusset jeans. They show pride in every stitch. Guarantee you love the way they fit. They put a diamond gusset in the crotch where you need it most. Blue diamond gusset's got it. Others don't.
For good old-fashioned comfort, get diamond gusset jeans. Every stitch guaranteed. And our Defender motorcycle jean comes Kevlar reinforced. See them at GUSSET.com. That's gusset.com. Or call 888-848-7738. That's 888-848-7738. Diamond gusset jeans got it. Others don't.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You notice Randall is refining the echo. It's just very gentle there. It's like, you know, Nigel, here's the thing when we listen to this. A lot of times people are so used to doing something every day, like traveling to work or something like that, or taking a journey in a car, and you don't want to think people do this, but they do. We all do it, and that is we go somewhere, and we get there, and the trip is over, and probably we remember very little, if anything, about that trip. Now, we might be perfectly safe drivers. I assume most of us are. Maybe we're listening to the radio. Maybe we're talking to somebody on the telephone. Hopefully hands-free. And we're somebody sitting next to you, and you're having a discussion. It's relaxing, and everything's going okay. But if you actually try to remember what happened after you reach your destination, you can't.
I do the same journey quite regularly, and you can't recall one journey from another one, really, unless something sort of weird happens, or, you know, there's an accident or some, you know, sort of road diversion or something. But your mind just switches it off because there's no new stimulus, so it's just like, oh, well, there's nothing to see here, so you just turn yourself off. And, it's just a bit frightening, really, because there's some things like, say, at work, you see certain things, but if you were had to write down what it says on, say, a notice board you see every day, you probably only get half of it right. I think that the tune to what's important to us at the time and tunes out of it, you know, because I think there's this syndrome where people can remember everything, but because they remember everything in so much detail, we'd have to live another life to go through all those memories again. So, you know, normally our brains just filter out of a kind of trash and just brings to attention, you know, what we need at the time, you know, and it's quite fascinating, really, about what happens to the human brain. And I think psychology or psychiatry shows what happens when the mind is pushed to the edge or is submitted to things like hallucinogenic drugs or outside stimuli, as well as things that might go on, you know, the biology of the brain, of the makeup of the brain. So I suppose it's the interface between external factors and your own biology as well, which, this idea of fantasy-prone people are more likely perhaps to be witnesses to abductions or things because the mind's more conditioned to look at things in a more fantastic way. So there's elements of that, really, to look at.
So what about channeling then? How does that sort of fit in there? Because those people seem to go into their own little world when they're doing that.
I sort of met somebody years ago who went into a mediumistic trance and had a communication with Venusians, I think. I get the feeling she wasn't particularly into UFOs, so I think she kind of tuned herself into what she thought we might want to hear. A lot of channeling is a kind of seeking certain things or perhaps tuning into things that either they want to find out or what other people want to hear, really. I don't know how legitimate it is, really. People have tried using all sorts of techniques, like even using Ouija boards to contact aliens. So I suppose the two areas do kind of merge. And I think a lot of the early contactees were more prone to indulging channeling and esoteric ways of trying to contact UFOs. But a lot of people have also just seen lights in the sky moving about, and they felt that the light seemed to be tuned into their own brain, and that, you know, if a flash of light at it, the UFO seemed to respond to them, or if a move ahead, it seemed to move in conjunction with them or what they're thinking about. You know, there's quite a few areas where it merges into what you call sort of psychic and paranormal phenomenon. But there again, you know, it's because of some exotic origin or causes, or, you know, you can go the skeptical road and just think, well, these are things that are due to psychological factors, you know, so it's a new area, really.
As a psychologist, though, how realistic is it to think that all of these reports are of that nature? I mean, clearly you're taking a very level-headed approach, and you appear to be ruling out quite a bit of the possibilities and attributing it to possibly some sort of a psychological aberration, even if it's transient. As a ufologist, do you think that they can all be explained that way, or do you think there is a real objective phenomenon, some sort of alien craft from, we're not sure where, but something real and objective?
I think this is something where I've veered from belief to skepticism and back again, because in a way you think, well, if it were aliens, it would be clever enough to manipulate us the way, you know, John Keel wrote about years ago. So in a way, we could be playing with us and you know, toying with us in the way we might, you know, play with animals or things, you know, in laboratories, really. So, you know, I think there's this old thing about Charles Fort who said, you know, we are property, but, you know, we are being experimented on or just playthings of aliens. So I think that's something... I think it's an interesting concept, really. I think it's explored a lot in sort of in science fiction novels as well. But on the other hand, with say a lot of UFO cases, you think, oh, you can explain them all, and then you come across some. But every ufologist seems to have a case where they say, oh yeah, that's true, except in this instance of. You know, spoke to somebody and they had a certain amount of evidence. You know, that's what tips a balance from it just being perhaps a psychological thing to perhaps something else is going on. Perhaps it's something, you know, there might be some really simple explanations, often the most simplest of staring us in the face. But because we're also involved in the subject so much, perhaps it's sometimes it's hard to see the facts beyond, you know, all the kind of theories that we have that surround us. So I'm sitting on the fence, basically, there.
Here's kind of where I draw the line on that. I can completely agree with everything we've talked about up until now. And that's why I tend to sort of put abductions and that sort of thing kind of out there more in fringe ufology. When we get talking about UFOs, I start talking, I'm more of a nuts and bolts guy. They're, you know, are we talking about real craft or not? It's pretty difficult to just discount, say, when a radar station picks up a UFO and they send a jet after it, and the pilot sees the object while it's being picked up on radar. To me, that seems to be a lot more concrete in terms of talking about the objectivity of the phenomena. What do you think about that?
Somebody has just written a book. I can't remember the name of it. It's just written about UFOs, but cut out all the alien abduction and exotic encounters and just looked at sightings by pilots, military and civilian pilots, radar cases, and, you know, mass sightings of UFOs.
More to come with Nigel.
Yeah.
Gene and Randall, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our products from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Jurors didn't reach a verdict in the Paul Manafort financial fraud trial and were sent home for the weekend. In a revelation that stunned the courtroom, Judge T.S. Ellis said he has received threats while he's presided over the case and that he's now being protected by U.S. Marshals. When news organizations asked him to make jurors' names part of the public record, he declined for their safety. President Trump weighed in on his one-time campaign chairman's case.
I think the whole Manafort trial is very sad. when you look at what's going on there. I think it's a very sad day for our country.
Manafort is charged with 18 felony counts here and tax evasion in a separate case. He has steadfastly refused to cooperate with the probe into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. 800-296-1261. That's 800-296-1261.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
If you're young and healthy, you don't need life insurance, right? Yeah, that's what I used to think, too, until my brother died at 38. Joe left his wife with two kids, a mortgage, and a stack of bills she couldn't pay. Mary had to sell the house and move everybody into this tiny two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. I never want to do that to my wife, so I got life insurance. I called AIG Direct and was really surprised how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. Listen, if you have a family, you should seriously think about getting life insurance. You'll feel a lot better having it. Trust me.
Call AIG Direct for a free, no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you could save up to 70%. Call now. 1-800-910-7981. That's 1-800-910-7981. 1-800-910-7981.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
Subtle echoes. The sounds of Randall Murphy. Coming your way on the Paracast with Nigel Wasson. And it's interesting here. There was an article in a magazine called Saucer News from Jim Moseley. Don't know if you ever heard of Jim Moseley.
I've heard of him.
Sure.
Yeah.
And he had this before he went to Saucer Smear. He had the Real magazine. And they did an article. This is, goes back to like the 50s or 60s. How close will Major Donald Kehoe allow a UFO to get? And the argument being that someone like him would accept all sorts of UFO cases, but as soon as they became close up or involved some sort of contact or abduction, they would not consider it just like this. And that's, I guess, the argument we had or the discussion we had early in the show, which is the very restrictive way UFOs are looked at, or UFOs. You're using the classic pronunciation, which I avoid because I'm not trying to sound like I'm too much in the field. Even though I've been here for 60 years or something, but or actually 80, but I don't want to admit I'm 300 years old because they'll think I'm an old vampire and I drink True Blood to keep going. But the thing is here is there you have, and a MUFON is similar to that, even though they do accept abductions, which is to put UFOs in a very, very limited framework. You allow a few external things. I guess they allow secret space programs too now because of what they did a couple of years ago. And what that does is we possibly all agree here is ignore so much of what's going on, which is upsetting. I have a question here, though, about some of these abductions. And it's based on an appearance by Denise Stoner and Kathleen Marden on the Paracast several years ago. And they co-authored a book where Denise says she met somebody while being abducted, I guess befriended her, and then after the abduction's over, actually looked her up and she was there. So we have a shared experience with two real people in different parts of the United States who had the same experience. What's up with that?
I think that, you know, something like that would be, you know, it's pretty hard to explain. I think the whole abduction thing, like you say, though, is it opens up a whole new can of worms, really. I suppose that's why I kind of got into being interested in psychology, but obviously psychology doesn't always have all the answers either. And I think the problem is because people report these things, they tend to be regarded as cranks. People ignore them when really they could be opening up new areas of knowledge, really, and to see, you know, because a lot of people who have alien abductions aren't necessarily traumatized enough to have to consult the medical profession. They're kind of left to their own devices. I think a lot of them support groups were set up in the 80s, and they've continued since or on Facebook. And something like where, you know, people have said they've seen other people on board the spaceship or whatever it is, and for them to have actually, that seems to seem like, yeah, they were actually on some sort of spaceship. But if you look at something like the books by Bud Hopkins and David Jacobs, a lot of the activities by the aliens seems like magic. People are transported on beams of light, they pass through windows or walls, they suddenly appear inside the craft without knowing they've gone through any sort of doorway. So in a way, they've been able to pass through solid matter, and also the aliens sort of communicate with them through telepathy, which is another thing that doesn't exist in terms of our current technology or science. So a lot of the things that the aliens are doing is quite sort of magical as much as being technological as well. And I think, well, it's very hard also to separate between the nuts and bolts, you know, the Donald Keyhoe attitude of, like, people were happy when UFOs might just have been, like, robot ships or anything. But I think magazines like Flying Saucer Review and people like John Keel started reporting, you know, more and more cases of aliens coming out of landed UFOs. And so, bit by bit, these what were originally regarded as survey ships, or remote controlled ones, have become populated by all sorts of strange creatures, from humanoids down to robots and all manner of beings. I think the only thing is, even if you keep to the nuts and bolts, it does sort of leak into areas of alien abduction, really. I think it's hard, like, to say, you know, where is a cutoff point where Donald Keel wouldn't have stepped any further. You know, it's, I think that's probably what's happened to me. I've passed on to other areas beyond the nuts and bolts. I don't know whether that's a good thing or not. I think it's quite good to have people who are just grounded in finding technical proof, but, you know, there's no area beyond that.
I think maybe the book you were thinking of is Leslie Keene's book, UFOs, Generals, Pilots, and Government Go on Record.
Yeah.
Now, this is a bit of a long lead-up into this question here, but in a October 26, 2017 article on the online publication Unilad, you use a quote by Christopher Mellon from a May 9th, 2016 interview posted by Leslie Keene in the Huffington Post, in which Mellon says, "I highly doubt the DOD or any other government agency is concealing UFO information. I participated in a comprehensive review of DOD's black programs and spent over a decade conducting oversight of the National Foreign Intelligence Program, an almost totally separate world of secrets. I visited Area 51 and other military intelligence and research facilities. During all those years, I never detected the faintest hint of government interest or involvement in UFOs. Then only about a year later, he's getting himself involved with the To the Stars Academy and Luis Elizondo." you've probably followed some of that. So do you care to comment on any of that? To the Stars and
I think the problem with the To the Stars Academy is just a bit too glitzy for my liking, and also it's headed by sort of celebrity ufology and the, you know, this whole thing about them. We kind of like we presented a bit of evidence, but it's always like the promise of more evidence in future. It's quite frustrating with so disclosure movement, which has been going on for decades now, and it's always like there'll be, you know, one definite, you know, proof that the government is involved. But, you know, governments have been involved in lots of UFO research. There's no denying that. But the problem is, have they actually come up with any evidence? That's something else entirely. I think Kevin Randall on his in a recent blog has said that the you know, some military officers said that, wish that they had evidence of a crash flying saucer a year after Roswell, which he kind of show like that it's evidence that Roswell didn't occur. But the problem is, there are so many different government agencies and the act that might be acting without the knowledge of other ones, really. So I suppose nobody has a total overview of what might be going on. And, you know, something like the UFO evidence, I think, is very hard to track down. I think, you know, with the Stars Academy, is like, it's just promising things that people want to hear, but I think it's still got a long way to go, really. And also, there's a kind of thing that, you know, UFOs are just an American phenomenon, whereas it's been a worldwide phenomenon, and that, you know, things have gone on in other countries.
Hey, guys, we got to do our break now. We got more to come with Nigel Watson and Gene and Randall. What kind of echo will Randall produce? You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Homemakers, groceries by mail ships free. Try our amazing bacon. It stores in your pantry. No refrigeration required. Our value-added packaging provides a 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Always priced less than grocery for your everyday use. Savory and delicious. Order today at readytoeatbacon.com. Readytoeatbacon.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Get relief for your neck or back pain when you search Amazon for Sunshine Pillows, heating wraps, and pads. Often listed as an Amazon choice.
Why take another pill?
Now, from Sunny Bay and by customer demand, we introduce our extra long neck heating wrap. A complete wrap, wide and hands-free, and brings fast relief to those who suffer from neck or back pain.
You can easily find Sunshine Pillows on Amazon.
Or search Amazon for our new Sunny Bay disposable heat pads. Or look for Sunny Bay heated neck wraps for relief from back pain to menstrual pain and cramps.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder.
See why our company, Biomed DB Design, has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Just go to Amazon.com and search Sunny Bay or call us 253-678-1361.
Standing up for what's right. Helping out when things go wrong. Seeking the truth and speaking our minds. Not just making records, but breaking them. Leading the way behind the camera, beyond the runway, and on the silver screen. Not just making our mark, but making a difference. Now that's a job for a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts, preparing girls for a lifetime of leadership.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I was thinking here he should try his Alvin of the Chipmunks voice next. Okay, Nigel, let's progress. I'm sorry I interrupted you with the previous segment. Go ahead, please.
Okay.
Yeah, we were just finishing up about the To the Stars Academy and how something... Or someone like Chris Mellon, who, being as well-placed in the Defense Department, had no idea that this program was going on, and then less than a year later it finds out about it and gets himself placed into the STARS Academy and is writing articles in the New York Times and talking all about it.
Yeah, it's like in Britain, there's a Project Condigan, which... was a secret document that very few people knew about and got released a few years later, and that seemed to look at a kind of overview of a subject and whether it would be something that the Ministry of Defence should carry on sort of collecting evidence for. I think we kind of used it as a way of wiggling out of a subject, in the same way Project Blue Book was a way for the United States Air Force to wriggle out of investigating UFO cases after that study. And I think even somebody like Nick Pope wasn't involved with producing that Project Condigan report, although I think he might have been aware of it, but because he'd signed the Official Secrets Act, he wasn't able to say anything about it until it was made public. So I think this is a sort of problem where different departments can write reports and make studies without, you know, people in very close, even close proximity might be aware of or not allowed to speak about. I think the thing about disclosure and presenting stuff to the public is almost another separate area to alien abductions or nuts and bolts ufology, really. I think from my point of view, it's so fight to find things from government, so it's sort of like it takes the energy away from people actually investigating UFO reports and talking to UFO witnesses instead, you know, of the time spent sending off for freedom of information requests and trying to track down evidence, whether it exists or not. It's really... a topic nowadays that during the US presidential campaigns, people are voting for the president that might most likely reveal the full truth about UFOs. I suppose Hillary Clinton was very much trying to promote that idea in her campaign, but I think the problem is it kind of gets swept under the carpet and other things happen when the president does get into power. And then either there isn't any UFO evidence hidden away in the votes or, it's so secret we're never going to hear about it.
Well, then we've got... We've got guys like John. No, that's fine. I think that sums it up pretty well. We also had people like John Alexander saying the same thing as Mellon, that he'd looked all around, wandered all the halls and tried to find the offices and the places where this was going on and found nothing. And yet we know now that there was a program. It's indisputable. So
It's kind of ridiculous because, the United States Air Force or the British government, if you wrote to the RAF or whatever it is, they all say we don't investigate these things. But I think if something significant happened, we would be forced to investigate it. And I'm sure there must, if there's, say, people were seeing lights in the sky in a certain area and military authorities were involved, we would eventually... there would be files about it. In fact, in the First World War, there were so many sightings of odd things in the sky that people thought were German aircraft or whatever. But reports were collected by the local police and then sent to MI5 in London. So we had an old department looking at all these sighting reports. And you could say it was the first sort of X-Files department. And that was back in 1915. So, governments, we tend to say, we only look into these subjects if there's any sort of defense threat. But I think we've got to keep... if there's a big public interest in the subject or if there's a sudden wave of sightings like Washington in 1952, but kind of, we've got to do something about it. So I think for them just to sort of try and sweep it under the carpet is something, it's impossible for them to do, really.
It's not reasonable.
It's not a sensible idea.
Yeah, it's not reasonable for us to think that they didn't do or wouldn't do anything. We know that they scrambled jets after the ones in the 52 incident several times. I find this idea of UFOs during the First World War to be really quite interesting. And can you tell us a couple of cases from back then? Have you got any handy that you can share?
Well, it was a particularly good one. There was a sort of Zeppelin raid, and one aircraft was sent up to look at a light in the sky, and then he lost track of it, and then somebody else also saw it, and he described it as like a railway carriage with lights in the window, and he actually took a pot shot at it with his sort of revolver, and nobody pinned down what that was, because I don't think it was explained as a Zeppelin, because it wasn't part of the group of Zeppelins that had been attacking that particular night. And that's a particularly interesting one, because it echoes the image on the cover of my book, which has got the Red Baron shooting a UFO down. That was a kind of made-up story through the Weekly World News, and notorious for making up such stories. But I think just that image of a sort of First World War aircraft shooting at a flying saucer is quite a strong one. And, in that story, the Red Baron was said to have shot down this UFO, and then two aliens got out of it and ran into the woods. But unfortunately, it's a sort of made-up story, and obviously it'd be a bit sad if... you've got this really great spaceship, you've travelled, hundreds of light years, and you finally turn up to be shot down by some old rickety aircraft. It's a rather sad end. But with the British case, it was a bit like that, but this pilot took a pot shot at something he saw in the sky. And and that was kind of all reported in government documents. And I live near to Dartmoor, And there again, lights were seen over the moors, and people thought German spies were signalling to Zeppelins to so that we could zero in on Plymouth or any other military targets in the area. So I think there's always been a kind of military interest in these things. And obviously in America, there have been lots of sightings in military sensitive areas, you know, Roswell itself and White Sands Proving Grounds and places like that have been rife with like UFO sightings and rumours. So, yeah, I have to think government hasn't got an interest. It's just, you know, it's quite, I think in Calvin Parker's book, there's a few letters denying these documents exist, and then suddenly they get these documents. I think it was written transcripts or something at the Air Force base that happened a few days after their abduction. And I think at first the authorities denied that they'd had any more than verbal communications, and then I think the documents did turn up. So sometimes I think... you know, there are cover-ups either deliberately to hide, say, government secrets or activities, or not to scare the public about things that might be going on, or it might be just that people aren't aware that, you know, these things have happened, so we can. Somebody like Nick Pope could easily say when he was on the MOD desk, "Oh, we have no knowledge of this." But that might be because his department doesn't have that knowledge.
Yeah, but, you know, think of it this way with Nick Pope, though. If he has signed a security agreement, non-disclosure in a sense, he couldn't tell you if he had that knowledge or not. He wouldn't be allowed to say it. We've got Nigel Watson. We've got J. Randall Murphy. We've got Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo Tote Bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.